It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
You haven't tried Bet Rivers yet? They're giving a special $500 offer to try their best in-class online sportsbook and casino. Right now, you can get $100 in free bonus money when you deposit $100 with the code BIGGAME500. If you make real money bets of $100 or more on KC and Tampa, you'll unlock $400 more in bonus money. Never been a better time to become a member at Bet Rivers. Go to BetRivers.com today. Play with a winner. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Paulie, ask and you shall receive. We've been asking for like 2 weeks now for great prop ideas to put up, you know, at any time in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl. How about this list from Rod Milton in Ontario? He sent like a dozen of them. And we will pass these along to books like PointsBet. And if any books are listening right now and you put these up, let us know. We will definitely talk about them. But this is from Rod. Are we going to get a PI call of 40-plus yards? Will someone other than a quarterback throw a touchdown or an interception?
Don't they have they have roughing the passer up usually.
Yeah, they do.
That's okay.
Will any scoring play be negated by a penalty?
Very good.
I like that.
Ooh.
Will a lineman who reports eligible score a touchdown?
Boy, what do you make? I don't know how you make that number. Yeah. Too hard. Too hardcore.
I'll send these over to Rex Byers as well. He said he's been doing this for a long time. He goes, just give me the props. I can make a number on pretty much anything.
Okay, great.
So I'll see what he does. How about a sack on a fourth down attempt? Will the final play of the half of the game be a scoring play? That, I think, is going to be up at places.
Give me the one. Will a touchdown be negated by a penalty?
Yes.
I've seen that before. I think William Hill puts it up. I have seen that before.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember where. I've seen it in the last couple of years.
Okay. Will a PI penalty be reversed after the refs confer?
I believe I've seen that before.
I don't think books can, well, I don't think Vegas books can put this one up. Will a player be caught on camera throwing his helmet on the sidelines? they can't put that up. Maybe some other books. Will a game end with multiple lateral attempts?
Oh, no. Don't even bring it up.
How about this? Will a team call a timeout in an attempt to freeze the kicker?
Okay.
Now, that's good.
Yeah.
When that was so trendy like 8 or 10 years ago, Christ, it was coming in every single game. 57 yards. Let's go ice him. Yeah, good idea.
And they say it, and every kicker will tell you it helps them.
Yeah.
And they still do it.
Right. How about will a tipped pass result in an INT?
Oh.
Huh? See, that's what we're looking for here. Outside
right,
the box. Yeah. Things that happen in games occasionally. You might see it once in a while, every blue moon, whatever, but... All good to have on the betting board.
My numbers, one thing on Vegas. Vegas has won 3 in a row against St. Louis, and the last 4 have gone over. But this is just insanity. We got 14 games. Can't get to everything today with so many damn hockey games.
You have to get a room at the D and stay at Bar Canada.
That's right.
The whole night. Just have every single game on the screen. Mm-hmm. On the whatever 15 screens they have in there. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN. If you have other prop ideas, it's ftm@vsin.com. That's the email, ftm@vsin.com. Nigel Seeley joins the program coming up next. We'll get his best soccer bets for the day and what he's looking forward to this week here on VSiN.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Utah Jazz have won 8 consecutive games. They are 12-4 this season. They're laying 11 against the New York Knicks today in Salt Lake City, total 213. The Knicks are 8-10. They have dropped 2 straight. Hawks laying 2.5 at home against the Clippers. The Rockets, a 2.5-point home favorite against Washington. In the NHL, the Pittsburgh Penguins have won 4 consecutive games, all in comeback fashion. They're a $1.10 dog at Boston. Bruins laying $1.30. They have won 2 straight. The total 5.5 shaded to the over. New Jersey Devils a $1.30 dog at home against Philadelphia. They're laying $1.50. VSiN has all of the Super Bowl betting angles covered. The best place to start is with our big game betting hub at VSiN.com/Super Bowl. While you're there, get the free big game betting guide with trends, strategies, and data to make the most of your betting decisions. Go to VSiN.com. VSiN.com/Super Bowl, VSiN.com/Super Bowl. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Money, Paulie and Mitch. We'll run down all the hockey numbers in 15 minutes, and we'll get to Hank Stram's Super Bowl betting formula, which started out 46-2. We'll get to that, but it's the soccer goat. He loves tennis as well. Nigel Seeley, he'll be on Thursday as well. We got a lot to go over here. The Prem's back today. 4 matches today. 5 tomorrow. Tottenham and Liverpool on Thursday. You got League 1 and League 2 today. At Seeley_Nigel on Twitter. Always reach out if you want to get a hold of him. He's right there. And you got the betting, the betcast every Saturday at 9:30 Pacific here on VSiN. Here he is, Nigel Seeley. How you doing, friend?
I'm very well. How are you? Enjoying the snow out there? I saw your picture, your video on Twitter, Mitch. It looked like my backyard. Didn't expect it from you.
I'll tell you, I like it. I mean, I don't live in it, right? I don't have to deal with it every single day like I used to living in the Midwest.
Yeah, so once every 5 years is good.
It's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Lovely. I mean, I can't stand the stuff, but there you go.
Excellent. All right. So last time we talked, Liverpool had another, they got beat at home for the first time in the Prem since April of 2017. Even Klopp said that ship has sailed about the chances to win the league. City is now minus 235 to win the Prem here at Circa. And Man U is the top of the table, although they have the match in hand. Any observations now as we're halfway through the season about what's going to happen here at the top of the table?
I think when we last spoke about the Premier League, I said to you at the time, I said that everyone's saying it's probably the most open Premier League we've ever had and probably the most strangest season, but I felt that Manchester City could probably win it by 10 points. And obviously that result really, really sort of cemented that opinion that Manchester City are just a different beast at the moment. They're on a winning run of 10. They're on an unbeaten run of 17. And they've got lots of players out, and they're still doing it. Now, there's no Kevin De Bruyne tomorrow. He's out injured. They're arguably the best player. Their top goal scorer for the last 6 or 7 years, Sergio Aguero, hasn't even played in the Premier League this season. So if they get those two back fit in the next 3 or 4 weeks, well, God only knows what's going to happen for the rest of the Premier League. They're just on a different level at the moment to where they're playing football. My only concern for Liverpool is whether they can cement that second place to get my my forecast from it when I've got the front two in any order. And I'm worried about that because Liverpool have a very, very tough set of fixtures. But I'll be on Thursday. I'll probably talk about the Tottenham-Liverpool game on them. But I think that is no gimme at all, the way Tottenham are playing at the moment. So I think it's troubling times in Liverpool. There's no way they're going to make the ground on Manchester City. I just can't see it. And I think, you know, Manchester City could really have this league wrapped up by Easter, really, the way they're playing. I don't think Manchester United will last the course. I think when he gets to the business end of the seasons, I think the players on the pitch are secondary to the manager in the dugout. And I think that you've got people like Mourinho and you've got people like Pep Guardiola have seen it, done it all before, all across leagues, all across European football. They've won Champions League, they've won titles in Spain, they've won titles in Germany, they've won titles in Portugal. Everywhere they've gone, they've done the business. And you've got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's done nothing as a manager. And I think that's really where it's going to come down to in the business end. So I think Manchester United, best they can hope for, is second. But I still think that Liverpool will come good at some stage to get a second position. I think Man City worthy favourites, and I think they'll win it in a canter in the end.
Any thoughts on the 4 matches today?
Yeah, go through the games quickly. I mean, Newcastle against Leeds. I really hope that Leeds would open up around about even money. I thought if I can get even money, I'd bet Leeds. They're not that. They're minus 110 over here and going south. I think Leeds will beat Newcastle. If you want to have a bet Leeds, but I can't bet it because of the price. I wanted evens and I didn't get it. So I'm not going to bet them, but if anybody wants to bet Leeds tonight, I think Leeds will win. Newcastle had no wins in 10. They failed to score in 7 of their last 8 matches, just 1 goal in 8 games. They're a club in complete and utter turmoil. The manager's lost the dressing room, I believe. I think he'll be the next manager to be sacked, Steve Bruce. I think it's just a matter of time before he goes. And I think Leeds, on a bad run, losing 3, but they do score goals. And if they can score one goal, it means that Newcastle have got to score two, and they haven't done that in 13 matches. So one goal, I think, will be enough, and I think Leeds will get it. So I would bet Leeds. And as we're speaking now, the line's going lower and lower. Crystal Palace, West Ham, a London derby, very, very difficult one to call. West Ham in great form. Won their last five, unbeaten in seven against the Palace side, have lost their last three, but it's a London derby. I'm going to get involved. Southampton against Arsenal. This is really, really interesting. In the last 24 hours, it's been a huge, huge gamble on Arsenal. They've gone from around about plus 130 into plus 110 and getting shorter and shorter as the game kicks off. I don't understand that. I mean, Southampton did beat them last week. Admittedly, it was in the FA Cup, and admittedly, it was an Arsenal reserve side. But Arsenal has some massive injury problems. Aubameyang, the centre-forward for Arsenal, their main goal threat, their big talisman, doesn't play. Their best defender, Tierney, who's been the best player for Arsenal this season, he doesn't play. And I think it's a bit of an overreaction to the price. I would have a lean towards Southampton plus half a goal, where I can get the draw on my side as well, because Arsenal are a team that just get bet every week. I mean, the stats geeks out there just love Arsenal. They absolutely love them. But Southampton are the most underrated team in the Premier League, in my opinion. And I don't think they deserve to be plus $2.50 at home, but I would like to draw on my side as some insurance. So probably Southampton plus a half for a lean. And Manchester City against West Brom, I would be touched on how good Manchester City are. I mean, they've unbeaten 17, they've won 10, won 10 on the spin. West Brom just conceding hatfuls of goals. They've conceded at least two in six of their last seven matches. And Manchester City haven't lost here for, I think, the last 10 matches in the Premier League. They haven't lost at West Brom. You can't see anything other than a Manchester City win. But Man City have got some sort of defensive resilience this season. Diaz and Stones, their two defenders, look rock solid. And that's unlike Man City teams in the past. Where you could get at them was at their defensive frailties. But this Man City side look really, really strong. And perhaps if you want to enhance your price, you can get on with your books. I know Bet Rivers do it, and a couple of other American, Bavada, I think, do it as well. But Man City to win to nil. Probably is the better, because I don't really fancy West Brom as an attacking threat. So Man City are much more solid defensively.
They do things differently over there. I believe Leicester City, when after they won the Prem, they sacked the manager the next year. I mean, they don't waste a lot of time. So how do you handicap Chelsea now after they sacked their manager and they're laying $1.70 here at Circa against the Wolves tomorrow?
I think the thing is with Chelsea, last season Frank Lampard overachieved. And the thing is, as a manager, you don't want to overachieve. And with Leicester, the manager done the most overachievement ever in sporting history.
Yes.
In the league. There's only one way down from that. The thing is with Frank Lampard, he didn't have any money to spend last season. He'd got the team into the Champions League, a team of youngsters, which was an unbelievable achievement. This year, he spent £120 million, which is more than most in the Premier League. And big signings, Werner, Kai Havertz from the Germans just haven't performed. They found it very, very hard. And I think he's being judged on what he's spending money on and the performances on the pitch. It's a money business, and money is more important this year with COVID problems and revenue. It's more important than ever. And if it looks like Chelsea don't get into the Champions League, which at the moment they're going to really struggle to do, then this season there's no revenue coming in. So it'll be a double whammy. So unfortunately, he's been judged on his spending and what he's done on the pitch. He's brought in some good players. I think they'll probably be good enough to beat Wolves. I think Wolves are a team in crisis as well. But I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think you've got to play that game tomorrow. Probably a nervy match. Under 2.5 goals would be my suggestion.
By the way, Nigel, great call. League One last week with us. You told us, you've been on this team now for a couple of weeks with
Oxford.
Oxford.
Yeah.
And they got there against the Rovers. What, Bristol Rovers, I believe. 2-0 was the score. Are you going to be on them again this week?
Just taking the words out of my mouth, Mitch. I'm on Oxford. They're my favourite second sight team. I think there's a lot of people in America who have never heard of Oxford before, and now they're their second favourite team as well. I bet them at the start of the season at, I think, 16-1, but I bet them 6 weeks ago at 400 to win this division, and I bet them again at 250, and I've gone in again at 100. They're now 40.
Wow.
So they really are the best team in the division. I've said it all along. They are, off my ratings, they're the best team in the division. And they just had a terrible start. They got really affected by COVID problems before anybody else. They had players playing who were playing at 60%, and their form dipped. Now, halfway through the season, you're seeing the real Oxford. They're coming to the table and they're playing well. They've got a striker called Matty Taylor up front, who's good enough to play in the league above, who scores goals. I think he scored four now in his last three games for Oxford. He scored both goals at the weekend. And they're just full of confidence, absolutely full of confidence. And it's a league where, you know, not only the Premier League, points are being dropped in League Two, in League One as well, over in England. And, you know, I think it's too much for them to win it. But I'm not giving up the chance of promotion. I think they could definitely get promoted. If they get in the playoffs, they're the best. They're the favourites in the playoffs. They're the best team in it. But they play a side tonight in Rochdale, who are down towards the bottom of the table. And the reason towards the bottom of the table, they concede so many goals. They've conceded 25 goals in their last eight games, over three a match. And Oxford, the one thing Oxford do is score goals. They've scored 17 in their last six. So they're averaging three a game, more or less. And Rochdale are conceding three a game. And away from home, Oxford's style of play, the counter-attacking style they play, I think they're a better road team than they are on a home side. They're available around about -120. They were -117 earlier in the week. I think they'll win tonight because I think that they're better defensively and much better offensively. And it's a game that just screams goals. And I think that Oxford are just full of confidence. And they're definitely so. The trouble is now is when I was putting them up 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were getting a nicer price. We were getting a much better odds about them. Now everyone's sort of realising that they are back to where they should be, and we're not really getting so much value. So I would bet them at -120, but if your books are a little bit lower than that, I wouldn't play. But I do think Oxford are more than capable of having a real surge up this table and definitely finishing the playoffs at the very minimum.
All right.
Yeah, very good.
Good luck out there. We'll talk to you Thursday. Excellent job as always.
Yeah, have a good week. Take care. Mind the snow.
You got it.
Yeah.
Nigel Seeley. Seeley underscore Nigel on Twitter made a great case for Leeds. How does Leeds not? I mean, don't be a moron. Put more on it. Newcastle can't score. Leeds can score.
Right.
And he thinks even they get one, it could hold up. And then City to win to nil. I mean, the clean sheets left and right, you can't score on them.
Yeah, like every match.
Right.
I get what he's saying, though. Right? I mean, he wanted that price. It's not available, so he's not going to bet it. Although he thinks they're going to win the game. You bet City, right?
Yes, 180.
180, yeah.
The betcast will be Arsenal and Man U, 9:30 Pacific on Saturday.
Have you checked City's price?
It's 235 now.
Yeah, I'm seeing as high as 250. Yeah.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's four games today and then five matches tomorrow. All right, excellent. All this hockey, my God.
Now, good breakdown on Oxford, too.
That was good. That was good. Let me run down the hockey here, and then we'll do the Hank Stram coming up. So I'll go rapid fire here because there's so many damn games today, but we did a little bit yesterday, but now that we have so much and there's a lot to take in. First periods, San Jose, 5-1 to the over. The Islanders, 4-1 to the over. Boston, 5-0 to the under. Edmonton, 6-1 to the under. Detroit, 5-1 to the under. First under against Chicago Sunday. Nashville, 4-1 to the under. Second periods, the Jets, the Kings, and the Penguins are 6-0 to the over. The Capitals are 5-1 to the over. The Blues are 5-1 to the over. And the Ducks are 5-1 to the under. Third periods. Montreal, Philly, Chicago, and Colorado, all 6-0 to the over. Nashville's 5-0 to the over. Edmonton's 6-1 to the over. And this is funky, but the Rangers and Islanders are 4-1 to the under. Goal in the first 10. Columbus, 5-1. Colorado, 5-1. Boston, 1-4. So that's the no. Chicago, 1-5. And St. Louis, 1-5. St. Louis plays Vegas tonight on the road. And Vegas has been good at home. Goal in the world's colliding.
Sure.
Pitch.
Right.
Goal in the first 10. Chicago finally, that ended. They were 5-0 with the no. And then they got one early against Detroit. These are game totals now. Game totals. All five Islander games have gone under. Washington and Pittsburgh and Philly are 5-1 to the over. So is Montreal. And last night it cashed again, 7-1 final. The Vancouver Canucks are 7-1 to the over, as I update that, after they played last night against Ottawa. So we're going to be seeing seven soon. They have to. I mean, they're 7-1 to the over, and the 6.5s are going over. So expect, I would see seven soon with Vancouver. There's your update.
Can they really go that high?
Chris Otto's doing a great job, and that's all our staff will be on this soon with the first or second. I know Ian does a good job, too, with the goal in the first 10.
Are they going to go to 7 already with them, or will they go 6.5 minus?
Heavy juice?
Yeah, probably. You might have to go higher than a quarter. Minus what? How high do you go? One? Jeez. I don't know, but we did recently see 7s, though, in the NHL.
Yeah, yeah.
It was within the past couple of years where some of these teams that were just high flyers.
We also got a couple teams in action who've had time off because of COVID. Florida's been off for a week.
A week now. By the way, they've only played two games. Played two games off for a week, and they go at it again tonight.
I don't know how you handicap this. Look at Dallas. Their first game came 7-0.
I know.
And then Florida didn't play, and they swept the Blackhawks, but Carolina's been off for a week, too. They're taking on Tampa, right?
Let's see here.
I don't know why that isn't listed. I don't see that listed. I think they're playing tonight. It's not on the sheet. No line yet.
Okay.
I missed it. Where the hell is it? Maybe. All right. So you have that. So I don't know. And then the Avalanche are 2:30 at home against the Sharks. And again, a good observation by Point Shaver. Colorado's been good. Goal in the first 10, as I just mentioned, 5-1. But then they shut it down. These first periods are still going under. They get that early one, and then that's it.
Boom.
So you get a great betting opportunity there. Go under 2.5 or take the plus money under 1.5.
Yep.
That's been weird how those Colorado games have been turning out.
Hello, Winnipeg.
Yes.
Peter chimes in on email, ftm@vsin.com. Minus 41.8 Fahrenheit today. Yeah, not that bad. If it ever gets that bad in Las Vegas, then I'm moving, no matter what. The snow is fine. The minus 40 degrees, no thanks. All right, so we'll get into this Super Bowl betting formula, picking the winner. Hank Stram's legendary formula. It started 46-2. We'll run down the formula for this year's game coming up next. Racing fan, First Bet is the place for you with wagering on races at more than 300 tracks with AI assisted picks. It is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport with secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas100 today and get up to $100 match bonus on your first deposit. Visit first.com/bet/Vegas100. For details, that's 1st.com/bet/Vegas100. Promo code is Vegas100. So we got this, and I recalled this over the years, but we got a good email from Kim. Again, email is ftm@vsin.com. Kim reminded us yesterday on the program that when Mike and the Mad Dog on WFAN in New York, when they did that legendary show for years, right? They would bring on Hank Stram for a Super Bowl pick. Kim pointed out on the email, they would build it up, promote it heavy throughout the entire show on Friday. And Kim says, you can ask New York bettors. Guys would stop work at 4:30 to hear Stram. People would drive off to the side of the road so they would concentrate and listen. And Kim said, trust me, it's gold. So good job by Matt Santos here behind the scenes. And he, in 2 second Google search, came up with it. But covers.com has a recap, and here's what I would ask for. It's this was before the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl in 2015, and I could not find it any further updated than that. And to be quite honest, I did the digging on this year's game. It's quite time-consuming. So if anybody has an update beyond 2015 on the overall record of Hank Stram's betting formula, to pass it along would be a tremendous help. And I would, thank you in advance, ftm@vsin.com. But as Covers pointed out in 2015, before the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl, Stram passed away in 2005. So think about this for a second. His formula leading into the game in 2015 was 46-2, 4-0, 6-2. And that was after a win the previous year, but that was on the heels of three consecutive losses. So it started 39-3-2, picking the Super Bowl winner. I mean, that is just insane. I'll give you this. The formula that year, it had the Seahawks beating the Patriots. And by the way, the like every edge here went to the Seahawks for the most part. Every big one over the Patriots. And the Patriots won, of course, that game. And last year, per his formula, the Niners were like overwhelmingly, I wouldn't call them favorites, but according to his criteria and the numbers again, the Niners really fit the criteria. And they had that game in the fourth quarter before Mahomes and the Chiefs came back and won. So, it started 39-3-2. And I'm sure, you know, he's not around anymore to tinker with it. There's a lot of running stuff in here, and this is going to take us a while to run it down. So it might go into the next segment, obviously. But it starts off, and there's a ton of stuff to this here. Give 10 points to a team if they've won a Super Bowl in the last three seasons. Well, the Chiefs qualify, so they get 10 points for that. Give 8 points to either team if their opponent is playing in their first Super Bowl in franchise history. That's not the case here. Give 8 points to the team that has given up fewer amount of defensive rushes. That's the Buccaneers. They would get 8 points. Give 7 points to the team with the best straight-up win-loss record, including the playoffs. That's the Chiefs. Give 7 points to the team with the most offensive rushes on the season. That one also goes to the Chiefs. I don't know how he came up with the strategy or the formula, but again, over the years, it had just been a goldmine. Give 5 points to the team with the better defensive yards per carry average, Buccaneers. Give 4 points to the team that has the best net kick punt return touchdowns. Chiefs qualify this year. Give 4 points to the team who performed better against the point spread in the regular season. That's the Buccaneers. As we all know, the Chiefs until last week, I mean, they won every game, but they, you know, hadn't covered since the Jets game in November. Give 4 points to the team that has a better net penalty yards number. Tampa Bay, and quite frankly, not even close on that one. Give 3.5 points to the team that has the greater yards per pass attempt. Chiefs 7.8 yards per attempt, Buccaneers 7.4. Chiefs get the edge. 3.5 points to the team that has allowed the fewest points on the season. Buccaneers allow 22.3, Chiefs 22.4. That one, the slight edge goes to the Buccaneers. We have many more Hank Stram criteria here to get to on his formula. Again, it started 39-3-2, 40-6-2 until like 2015. And we'll run down the following criteria per his formula and tell you who the winner should be based on his overall metrics coming up next. Has all your Super Bowl betting angles covered. The best place to start is with our big game betting hub at vsin.com/Super Bowl. We're going to be tracking all the key stats for both teams, big game betting trends, line moves, and player stats, so you can easily research your bets for the game and all of the props. And while you're there, get your free big game betting guide with trends, strategies, and data to make the most out of your betting decisions. Now is the time to prepare your best bets. Get started with the free big game betting guide at vsin.com/Super Bowl. So we're running down this legendary Hank Stram formula. We'll get back to that in a second. By the way, Paul, you were asking about the Lightning game tonight?
Yeah, no wonder why I can't find it. Canceled. COVID.
Canceled, yep.
Thank you.
I think they're going to pick it.
It happens so much. They don't even announce it now anymore. You can't even find it. It's not a big deal. It's like, not even like, by the way, breaking news, a game, but they don't even, it's not even a big deal. It happens. It's like Brian Mahoney tweet. It happens all the time in the NBA. It's like not even a... Yeah. It hasn't become a news story anymore. Game canceled, COVID, postponed, whatever.
Yeah, rescheduled until, I think they're going to do it up again on February 22nd or something like that, the way it looks. But this Hank Stram formula, again, picking the Super Bowl winner. It started 39-3-2, It was eventually, 46-2. It had the Niners winning last year, and they had the Chiefs dead to rights until the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter.
Betty.
And I'm going back. We'll run down some more of the criteria here, but I am noticing that, and Hank Stram passed away, I think, in 2005. Maybe he would tinker with it over the years. Maybe he would adjust it. There's a lot of stuff that has to do with rushing on here. I mean, a lot of points. It's really weighted towards, look at that. Give 8 points to the team that has given up the fewest amount of defensive rushes. 7 points to the team with the most offensive rushes. 5 to the team with the better defensive yards per carry average. There's a bunch more on here as well. And just how the game has changed overall. I mean, again, the Chiefs might win the Super Bowl. They could probably get away without running the football ever. If they wanted to. Give 3 points to the team that recorded the most sacks.
It's not a bad game plan.
I know.
How are you going to stop it? Yeah.
Yep. That's the Buccaneers. Give 3.5 points to the team that has given up the fewest amount of rushing touchdowns. Another one, Buccaneers. 2.5 points to the team with the fewest offensive pass attempts. That's weird. By the way, that's the Chiefs, not the Buccaneers. 2 points to the team that had the best net punts total on the year, Chiefs. 1.5 points to the team with the best offensive yards per carry average. That's KC. And 1 point to the team with the better completion percentage. That's the Chiefs. By the way, I did all of this stuff. I may have, I crunched all the numbers yesterday. If I'm off on one or two of these, I apologize. But the way it comes out, the net result, here's the final score of his overall formula. Chiefs with 38.5 points and the Buccaneers with 31. That doesn't mean that's the final score. That's just the total amount of points that he would give out to the teams, again, based on his formula. Chiefs would be the winners this year. Mm-hmm. Again, he had the Niners a year ago. And I just...
It's fascinating.
Well, to have someone like that where...
And then all the work, all the work that went into this and how we would do this, right.
And
the success.
And why this many points to this criteria. I mean, what's more important, obviously? I mean, he gives 10 points to a team that won a Super Bowl in the last 3 seasons. I mean, because before, in the NFL a long time ago, we would have teams, right, to repeat. Or we'd have teams to win, 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. Nowadays, I mean, other than the Patriots, that has not really been a thing. It's very difficult to repeat. It's difficult to get back the following year. And now we have Mahomes and the Chiefs obviously doing this. But for a long time, it was like, not very easy. I mean, even when the Patriots kept making it, they only repeated one time, right? And that was, 2004, 05, something like that? 05, 06?
It's been a funky postseason, too. I mean, it was so easy for Kansas City, as you ran down at the top of the show, in the first 3 quarters of the first meeting. Does that scare you in the rematch here in Tampa Bay making the adjustments? The other thing, you saw how the Saints had no problems with Tampa in the first 2 meetings, and then they lose. And then Tampa destroyed Green Bay in the first meeting and then came back and beat them again, even though they were underdogs. But so certainly I agree with humans, too, about just Green Bay with silly turnovers. A couple calls didn't go their way. The drops, red zone issues. But you can't argue this. Tampa Bay has been fortunate taking it away. Well, is Mahomes going to turn it over?
Right.
Not only have they done they've done an excellent job taking it away 7 times, but they've cashed in touchdowns on 6 of them. Now is that?
Well, that's bonkers.
Yeah, and a lot of it's been short fields. Well, that is bonkers. And the other time they ran a clock out against the Saints. Will that happen against Mahomes? I say no. I don't think he'll turn it over. I don't think he's not going to make those mistakes.
Yeah.
And Rodgers has been phenomenal this year, but I wouldn't put the interception on him because it was a grab in the jersey and it wasn't called. Okay, that's one thing. But Mahomes not going to miss those guys. Well, he missed Lazard. He missed Tanyan. He had Adams. It was a poor throw. I mean, too many mistakes. And then the confusion, too, which cannot happen. Andy Reid's too good. LaFleur has got to communicate to Rodgers. This is it. If you don't get it on a third down, we're kicking.
Right.
Rodgers are under the impression they were going to go for it. So he's like, what? What's going on? But, I mean, this stuff can't happen in a championship game. And I don't think it will with Kansas City.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I never saw that coming with the Packers this year. The amount of mental mistakes they made and the chances that they had. I mean, Paulie, they were...
The King thing's ridiculous. King. I mean, come on. You're playing to go to the Super Bowl. That's a peewee mistake.
I mean, I think basically the coaching and King cost them the game.
Yeah.
That was more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were so egregious. I mean, just absolutely god-awful. But again, to your point, the turnovers for Green Bay, where they came. Basically a midfield for the Buccaneers on the INT, and then Aaron Jones with the fumble. I mean, to begin the second half. Right, they gift wrapped him another touchdown.
Right, right.
Meanwhile, when the Packers picked off Brady, it's deep inside their own territory.
Yep, they were driving.
It's basically a
or
punt.
It's a punt. Oh, that's another one. He would throw it 50 yards and it was an interception.
And look at the Saints game. INT turned back to the 3-yard line.
Right. The other thing, too, I don't know if pride was a factor, like Pulp Fiction, that's pride messing with you. Why didn't King just tackle Miller? You're burnt toast.
That's a great point.
He got you by 5-10 yards.
Actually, did
just
he?
Just grab him.
Could have he? I don't. I think he was burned so badly, he couldn't even catch him.
God.
And the missed timing with his jump on the first touchdown. He jumps right now. Oh, there's the ball. Okay, touchdown. Like 3 seconds too early.
And in the third quarter,
does he have no depth perception?
In the third quarter, he makes a play and he's talking trash.
Oh, that's right.
It's like, what are you watching?
Oh my God, don't you love that?
Oh my God, I mean you're killing your team here. What are you?
You know, the one
irrational confidence guy.
One thing we never brought up yesterday. It was I'm blanking on his name now. The kid who was awesome against the Saints, the linebacker.
Devin White.
Talked all that trash against the Packers.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
No. Well, some of this stuff does. Some of the, you know, it's how it goes. It's been a weird year. Been a weird year. Some of this, with the playoffs, who knows? I was on with the guys in WEI. We talked about it. I mean, how about the Patriot team? Brady never loses these games, right? Even Tom Brady got him 1 year. Tom Brady was 14-2. They were the one seed. They beat the Jets like 48-3 or something on Monday Night Football. Yep, they played them in the playoffs and lost.
Hey. Yep. All right, let's tie in quarterbacks who could be on the move with Super Bowl odds for next year. Coming up next.
Yet they're giving you a special $500 offer to try their best in-class online sportsbook at casino. Right now you get $100 in free bonus money when you deposit $100 with the code BIGGAME500. If you make real money bets of $100 or more on the big game between KC and Tampa, you'll unlock $400 more in bonus money. Never been a better time to become a member at BetRivers. Go to BetRivers.com today and play with a winner. BetRivers.com, code BIGGAME500. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Okay, so the Stafford news, which came out over the weekend from Adam Schefter, they're expected to receive at least a first-round pick. And we asked Patriot fans, would you give up the 15th pick for him? And they all said, hell no. And the Patriots also have a lot of cap room, though, too. Stafford has not won up. He doesn't have a playoff win in 12 years. He's 33 in March. He's expected to bring back a handsome return, Adam Schefter writes. The fascination with this guy. I mean, he's tied for eighth all-time in game-winning drives. Yeah, he's the reason they're behind because he's turning the ball over.
I would be very careful breaking. I think he's, a second chance would do him really well, potentially. I'm not going to break the bank for him. If we're talking about...
This is a guy who's going to make over $200 million in his career. He hasn't won a playoff game. Uh-huh. And he had Megatron for half his career. One of the best of all time. He's 33 in March. He has 2 years left on a deal that pays him $43 million. Schefter writes, he's still one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league.
But what does that mean? What does one of mean?
Well, he's got a strong arm.
He can't beat
anybody good.
No, he doesn't, and he has never sniffed the top five. So get out of here with that.
The free agent class is going to include Dak, Dalton, Cam, Trubisky, Winston, Taylor, Fitzpatrick, Brissett, McCoy, and Sudfeld. Stafford's from Texas, could be interested in being traded back home.
I have odds on Stafford and his next team. You're looking at him right now.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Colts are the favorites.
I actually think the Colts would be a great spot for him. He'd go to a spot with that offensive line. And, you know, Reich has done some bizarre things over the last couple of years, but I still think Reich can be a pretty good offensive coach.
I could see Denver.
Denver would make a little bit of sense.
Yeah. I don't know what Washington's going to do. I mean, this is going to be a wild offseason. It's going to be a wild offseason. And also what happens with Rodgers, too, in Green Bay. I mean, okay, who knows? I mean, he's just a prickly pear. Who knows what side of the bed he wakes up on? See, I don't think Rodgers loves football. I think he likes the fame and notoriety. And Brady loves football. He doesn't have to play. I mean, his wife made more than he did in the glory days. Brady loves football in the competition. He will play. I'll play till I suck. Well, that won't happen. Now, some people are saying maybe he wins Sunday and just that's it. I'm done. But he still has another year left on his contract. I'd be surprised if he's doing it since 45. I don't know. Nothing would shock me with Rodgers. He's smart. You see that on Jeopardy. Yeah. He knows he's smart. I wouldn't be surprised if he forces a trade, says, I'm disgusted by what you did, the love stuff. I don't know. Everything's on the table with him. Give me a new deal. I want out. I'm going to retire. Who knows?
Can I tell you that I have a major problem with people calling out Rodgers for what he said about the fourth down decision when he goes, well, it wasn't my decision? Okay. And I heard plenty of people completely crushing Rodgers all day yesterday. Again, I listened and I watched.
Well, he's asked a question
because he did not perform well enough to win a big game like that. And that's the thing, right? That's why I hate hot take crap. He's asked the question.
Yeah.
So do you want a guy to be boring or do you want him to give you an answer? And then when the guy gives you an answer, you're going to be mad at that answer. So for the people, and there are plenty of you out there who disagreed with Rodgers saying that about the fourth down decision, what you are indirectly doing is agreeing with Matt LaFleur, and you sound like a total buffoon. Of course Rodgers should disagree with the field goal attempt. He would be an idiot if he didn't. Every person on the planet, right, should disagree with what LaFleur did. Here is Rodgers, actually. This is after the game on Sunday. He's emotional, right after the loss, obviously talking about that spot.
Did you have a play in mind for fourth down?
I felt great about the third down call. We actually ran it earlier in the game. Same play that Tate caught out of the end zone. And looking at it back, it looked like he ended up crossing face late and may have been kind of back across my body, an opportunity. I felt like I had a chance maybe to run it, but I felt like there was a guy kind of closing on me. Based on the call, Matty allowed me to call that third down play. If I had known we were going to kick it, if we didn't get it, maybe something else would have been maybe gone with some sort of, crossing routes maybe there instead. But I thought maybe we're going to have four chances to go.
Rob Domofsky.
Aaron, I don't know how it exactly works in the heat of the moment, but is there any opportunity to try to convince Matt to go for it in that situation on fourth and eight, or is that not even possible?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one, Rob. I look over the sideline, I see, five big guys around the field. There's a lot of gymnastics that has to happen to get us, to be able to go for it there. But, I don't know. That decision was made, and we moved on.
Okay, so people are pissed off about him.
That's wild.
Regarding that.
Yeah. No. Number one, let them know your plan is to kick it on fourth down.
Yep.
Number two, don't come off the field, though. Interesting, he mentioned, I absolutely think you could have ran in for a touchdown on third down. It was a lot of space.
I still can't get there with that.
Okay.
Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
That's bizarre. That's on LaFleur all the way around. That's bizarre.
It is. And I get actually where Rodgers is coming from. Again, he's smart. He thinks of everything. They had three timeouts. If he wants to challenge LaFleur there, he's got to take a timeout.
Yeah.
They're going to have two timeouts left and to stop Brady. I get it.
You got to do the Mahomes.
They still have a two-minute warning.
The only thing you can do is wave them out. Get out of here.
I'll go one further. I could sound like a jackass by saying this. But you have to kind of get ahead of the curve on, who had Brady going to the Buccaneers? I mean, some people thought it was going to happen, like Ed Teach. I mean, he had these gigantic tickets on the Buccaneers to win the NFC and the Super Bowl before it was even a thought that he could possibly go to Tampa Bay. And he did. Rodgers thinks of every possible scenario. He's smart. He tells you that he's smart, right? I wonder if he looked over at LaFleur, and when he made the decision to kick the field goal, he thought to himself, this is what I'm dealing with again. I thought I got rid of this with McCarthy, and one more time, it's never changed. They could bring in a new guy for me, but this guy actually wants to kick the field goal. I'm not even going to challenge him right now. This is ridiculous. Get me the hell out of here.
No, Bill Barnwell had an excellent point that McVay, that Shanahan tree, Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur, it's bizarre how they think on fourth down. They're aggressive, but then they're not.
It's weird.
So this could be Rodgers could be out. Roethlisberger could leave Pittsburgh. Watson could leave Houston. Carolina will explore its options, Schefter writes. Rivers retired. New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Washington might be facing similar situations. Deshaun Watson, next team. Jets are the favorite. Miami's 4-1. Carolina 15-2. One spot has Houston plus 175. I think he's done with the Texans. Yeah, what are the 49ers going to do? I mean, this is wild what's going to happen.
See,
you can say all you want about we like Jimmy this and Jimmy that. What if you have, what if it's Rodgers or Stafford or somebody else who's available? Who knows?
49ers are 15-1. You might be able to find higher than that to win next year's Super Bowl. You're telling me that if somehow they could work out a deal for Aaron Rodgers, they wouldn't be the favorites to win the NFC next year? All things considered, that coaching staff, the running game, the offensive line, who they're going to have coming back from injury on defense. Again, trying to get ahead of this, like last year with Tom Brady to the Buccaneers. Maybe the 49ers can pull that off. And if you told me right now that they were going to, one of the biggest bites of my life would be on the 49ers right now at 15-1. They're the best team in the NFC if Rodgers would go there. And it might not even be close. And some of these,
and I love Shanahan.
He's tremendous. The Schefter tweet, there are roughly 10 quarterbacks locked into starting jobs for opening day of the 2021 season.
Yeah.
This is expected to be an unprecedented offseason of quarterback movement. He finished the tweet by saying, my over-under of teams changing quarterbacks this offseason is 18, and I'll go over.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I don't think, Schefter doesn't do a lot of this stuff unless he, has moles on the ground, his feelers are out there, he's so well-connected. I'm not going to really doubt this guy. He breaks base. He's like Woj in the NBA. He gets every story. It's incredible. And you can find this offshore. Will Rodgers start game one of the 2021 season with the Packers? Yes is minus $5. No is 3-1. I would love to see it. I would love to see him just say, nope, guys, can't do it anymore. You got to trade me or else I'm going to retire, to pull a Favre. Favre said yesterday that can't happen. There's no way. He said, don't believe what the media is saying. Basically, he shut down what Schefter tweeted out. Favre said he's going to stay in Green Bay, has to stay in Green Bay. Why does he have to? Why?
Brett Favre?
Yeah, sure.
Who goes from the Jets, those are the Jets, and then the Vikings?
To the Vikings, right. And every year down the stretch in his career with Green Bay, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I might retire. I might come back. I'm not sure yet.
I was told that story. The Packers sent him the plane to go get him, and he changed his mind while the plane was in the air about going to retire or come back.
Yeah,
come on, Favre.
Yep.
Anything's possible in this sport.
Packers
are the Watson, but you want to talk about Lev? Oh, he's on. All they have to do is say, "I'm not playing." Then what are you gonna,
that's it.
That's all they have to do. I'm not playing other down with this team. Then what are you going
to
do?
Hey, I would have to verify this. I heard something today coming in. Out of their entire draft this past year, one guy made the field. That was A.J. Dillon. I mean, he has the most ammunition of all time. You drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Sure.
You never got me any wide receiver help. You never signed free agents. You never made a trade for anybody.
I got Scantling dropping the ball. I got Brown dropping the ball.
Exactly right. And by the way, the Packers would be smart. He's going to win the MVP. He had 48 touchdowns. They could probably get 3 first-round picks for the guy right now, or a couple of first-round picks. More on this coming up next. And if you want to bet the Chiefs, why not bet this instead? Coming up next.